My text for this morning occurs in a sermon by Jesus. We know that's a good sermon. We know that's a perfect sermon. He is speaking about how people in his kingdom, in the kingdom of God, live. These people have been touched by the Spirit of God. He has enabled their minds to grasp the truth, and the Spirit of God has enabled their wills to commit to that gospel truth. The emphasis on this text is product. What is produced? What is produced by a person's life? You and I hear and read and see advertisements all around us, and those advertisements will make promises. This product will bring to you so-and-so. And many times the product being promoted is said to be able to bring to you some kind of pleasure or happiness, or meet some need in your life. And you don't know for sure if that is true or not until you have tested the product. But we hear a lot of promises. Another source of promises we hear today, it being an election year, is from candidates who are running for office. This is what I will do for you if you vote for me. And we don't know for sure if that will be delivered or not until that person is in office. What is the product? So Jesus speaks about the product of the heart. And a very important part of what he is saying this morning in my text is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in the heart comes out in the life. What is on the inside will eventually appear on the outside, even if it doesn't at first. So this morning I speak to you on the product of the heart. First of all, I want to talk about a good tree and a bad tree. Secondly, I'll speak to you about a good man and an evil man. And thirdly, a matter of the heart. First of all, there is a good tree and a bad tree in verses 43 and 44. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Many of you are very familiar with what a tree produces, or what a crop produces or doesn't produce, because you're involved in it. You grow things. If you have a bad tree, you don't expect it to produce good fruit. If you have a bad tree, it won't produce good fruit. Especially important is this when your livelihood depends on it. And you know that. The quality of the tree matters in verse 43. Is it a good one or is it a bad one? If you have a healthy tree that's not diseased, that's not dying, that is not plagued by insects, that's not starved for water, that has enough sunshine, then you'll probably have good fruit. And as you know better than I, a lot is involved in bringing forth that fruit, in getting that fruit to be produced. A lot of work. Some trees grow out in fields, and they're not tended, but they continue to grow because they have the right environment, and because in the providence of God, they have what they need. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. In a similar way, if you have a healthy body, then your body will be able to produce for you. But if you have a healthy body, you have to take care of it, or it won't be healthy very long. Recently, I had what is called a wellness checkup. And some of you know what a wellness checkup is, some of you about my age or so. Some of you who are younger have no idea what we're talking about, but you go to your doctor's office and someone comes to you with a series of questions. What is your diet? Are you eating your veggies? Are you eating your salads? How many servings of fruit do you have per day? Are you getting your protein? What about exercise? Good body, good health. That's important for Medicare. It helps them spend less money. And that's good for us too, if we're in good health. Now, the opposite to a healthy tree, of course, is an unhealthy, unproductive tree. Jesus told a parable about an unproductive fig tree in Luke 13:6-9. A man had a fig tree that wasn't producing, and so he told the vineyard keeper to cut it down. The vineyard keeper said, well, let me work it, let me dig around it, let me fertilize it, let's give it one more year to see if it produces. Let's give it a little more time. Let's put a little more work into it. And then if it doesn't produce, then I will cut it down. The point is, it was not a fruit-producing tree, and it was taking up space. The owner could use that space, and so he needed a productive tree. And you can see how this applies to people. An employer may have a number of employees, but if one or two of those employees are not doing their job, that contributes to lack of production. And lack of production then means that his income is less. His business suffers a little bit. And so he wants his employees to be productive. In the church, there may be those who are unproductive. They're taking up space on the membership roll, but they are unproductive. Unproductive in the kingdom of God. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So, fruit produced depends on the quality of the tree. But it also depends on the kind of tree. In verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You don't gather figs from thorns. What kind of tree is planted will determine what kind of fruit is produced. And the tree has to be in the right kind of environment. You don't grow palm trees in Alaska, of course. But you can grow cedars in colder climates. What kind of tree is it? A tree, like a human being, produces fruit after its kind. So we need to be reasonable in what we expect to be produced and what kind of fruit we expect to see. And this also applies to people in everyday life. There's a person who is inclined to work with their hands. They enjoy repairing cars. They have a natural ability to do this. We would not expect that person to take a desk job. On the other hand, there are people who enjoy studying and learning new things and teaching others, and we would not expect them to work so much with their hands. In a more serious way, the spiritual fruit produced by a person is important as well. The spiritual kind of person we have determines the spiritual fruit that this person produces. A Christian person will produce spiritual fruit. A non-Christian will not. The kind of tree determines the kind of fruit, and so does the kind of person. So, by implication, Jesus is comparing human beings to trees. What fruit does a human being produce? And now we're not talking about work product, but what do we produce in our everyday lives? What kind of attitude do we have? What kind of work do we do? How do we treat other people? How do we speak to other people? How do we listen to them? How do we relate to them? How do we behave? Just as there is a good tree which does not produce bad fruit, there is a good person, relatively speaking, who does produce good fruit and not bad fruit, not consistently and not without repentance. Psalm 1:3 speaks to this. Psalm 1 verse 3, he, speaking of the righteous person, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Psalm 1:3. The believer is like a fruit-bearing tree. The tree has access to plenty of water, to plenty of strength. The tree produces fruit. The believer in Jesus has a supply of strength and nourishment from the Lord, from the Word, from the sacraments, from communion with God and His people. And he draws from that supply. She draws from that supply. So in the first place, we have the good tree and the bad tree. And then secondly, we have the good man and the evil man. In verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So now Jesus is not speaking by analogy. Now he's speaking directly. Now he speaks about human beings by naming them. But it's the same point. He's talking about fruit. What fruit is produced, and who produces it? There are opposites in life. There's cold and hot. You see the faucets, you see the handles and the faucet. You see the blue for the cold, and you see the red for the hot, and you know the difference, and you hope the plumber didn't make a mistake because you don't want to get burnt or frozen. You see the talkative person and the person who doesn't talk so much. You know about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There are opposites in life, and there are two kinds of people, two different kinds of people. Who's the good man? Who's the bad man? Who's the evil man? Literally, no one is good. We are all sinners. No one is good within himself. But here's a comparison, so that the good person is the follower of Christ and the evil person is the one who is the lost sinner. Two different kinds of people in the world. Two different kinds of people in the sight of God. The Christian and the non-Christian. The saved person and the lost person. The elect person and the non-elect person. And different kinds of people produce different fruit. This is brought out in Galatians 5, 19 through 26, which I want to read to you. Galatians 5, 19 through 26. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The works of the flesh are sins. They can be the product of saved people, and sometimes they are. We sin too. But if we are truly God's people, we will repent of those. And we will not consistently, repeatedly do them without repenting. But lost people will continue in them without repenting. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, we are told. And that's the evil fruit, the bad fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is the good fruit, the fruit of obedience. It is of the Spirit, that is, it is produced by the Spirit in us who believe. And the believer needs to pray and stay in constant communion with the Lord so that this fruit is produced. And this person, as Paul tells us in Galatians, this person has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. That happened in union with Christ. This person has died with Christ. This person has denied himself or herself, taken up his cross, takes up the cross daily, and follows Jesus, the source of the good works. There's a difference then between the good person and the evil person, as Jesus speaks of here. We read in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 7, 1, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch which is unclean, and I will receive you. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 7, 1. We believers are to be different in this world. And I know that's not easy. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for you. But an observer should be able to see that Jesus Christ has changed our lives. And when we fall into sin, and when we fail to resist temptation, we should be the first ones to admit it and to ask forgiveness. That's not easy either. But the Spirit of God within us convicts us and empowers us to be different. Not perfectly, surely, but more and more by His grace and power, we can do better. We are not superior to non-believers, and we hope and pray that they, by the grace of God, will have the same salvation that the Lord has given to us. Nevertheless, we are not the same as non-believers, and we are to show it in the way we live, the good man and the evil man. And thirdly, we find that all this is a matter of the heart. You will notice in verse 45, at the end of the verse, "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart is the fruit produced. Whatever is in the heart will eventually come out of the person. What can we say about the human heart? After Adam's fallen to sin, we can say, and we know for sure, that the human heart has been corrupted. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then in Jeremiah 17:10, the next verse, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart then is inclined to sin as we come into this world. You know that very well, and I do too, from experience. Inclined to do evil. But then the Lord tells us that he does something with the hearts of his people. For example, there's Jeremiah 24:7. He says that I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return to me with their whole heart. Jeremiah 24, verse 7. Every human being needs a new heart. We need a new inside. We need a change. That's our condition in our natural state from Adam. We need a new heart so that, a spiritual heart, of course, so that our thoughts can change, our attitudes can change, our inclination can change, our behavior can change, our orientation, our desires can change, so that with the new heart, we are now able to do good. We are now able to produce good fruit. The Holy Spirit produces it within us. We are now able to resist temptation. From the heart comes evil. That is, from the unconverted heart. Deception, lying, covetousness, all kinds of evil and disobedience to God. From the heart comes good. That is, from the changed heart. From the new heart given by God, good fruit, good behavior, obedience, and good words. There is a treasure in the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, a good man brings forth good out of the good treasure of his heart. Everyone has treasure. Where is your treasure? Is it in your safe? Is it in your attic? Is it in your storage room? Is it in your photo album? Or today we would say, is it on your computer? Is it stored in your files? Is it in your collection? Whatever you're collecting. There's treasure in your heart, too. There's evil treasure in the heart of some people. There's good treasure in the heart of some people. What you see with your eyes, hear in your ears, what you think about in your mind goes into that treasury. As you live over a period of time, you store more and more things in that treasury. As you live through the years, you develop a philosophy of life. And you may not have written it in a book, you probably haven't. But as you do that, you're laying up treasures. What is in your heart? What is on your mind the most? What do you think about? What do you spend your time doing? These are things that might become your treasure laid up in your heart. Your work, your leisure, your possessions, your children. How much do you think about the Lord and His Word? How much do you think about His church and His work? Psalm 119:11 is where the psalmist says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Psalm 119:11. The New American Standard translation of this is, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." Psalm 119:11. There's a treasury in your heart. But before one can have good treasure in his heart, before one can have good fruit in his life, he must have that new heart that I mentioned earlier. You will have repented of your sins and continue to do that. You will have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation and committed your life to Him, and you'll continue to do that. And all that is by the grace of God. You will be able, by the Spirit, to produce good fruit because of that change in your life and that continuing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12:24-25, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." John 12:24-25. As the seed is sown into the ground and buried, so to speak, it dies. It's buried in the ground. But then it grows. Then it produces. As you die to yourself, as you die to this world, you come to life in Jesus Christ. But the fruit does not come forth unless you die. You must die first. The Christian has been buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. And even our bodies will be raised at the last day when we taste the final victory. Jesus Christ is supremely the man of Psalm 1 who produces the good fruit. He is the absolutely good man with the perfect heart before the Father. He is the true vine from which we branches draw the strength. Through his life, death, and resurrection. And only through that can the product of our heart be good fruit. Amen.